Amen. John chapter 3. I hope you got your Bible. John chapter 3. I'm going to teach on something, and to some of you it's going to be repetitive. To some of you, you say, well, I already know that. But you know, we are in a day that people do not understand this passage of Scripture. It has been so watered down and so compromised and so changed that people do not know what I'm fixing to tell you. And many of you already know it. Some of you may think you know it and you don't. Some of you may know it and it just, you know, it hadn't really stirred you in a while, and I'd like to help you this morning, okay? John chapter 3, very familiar, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, that word means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, remember in the Bible that water always represents, in this case, it's the water of the Word, the Holy Spirit with capital S. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, see that capital S, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or wherever it wants to, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. You don't know where it came from, and whether it goeth, and you don't have any control over that. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. In other words, you haven't been paying attention to God. It's very religious, but they haven't been paying attention to what God said. You see that? Now, he said in verse 12, If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, he said that because the world was already condemned. See? And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Now don't turn there, but Ephesians 2:1 says, In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Quickened means made alive. Ron, will you get me a bottle of water? Quickened means made alive. Now, what we're talking about here, the new birth, is more than just an accepting of a creed. It's more than just an accepting of a doctrine. It's more than just saying, I believe that. It's more than repentance. It's more than making a decision. It's more than looking at a church and saying, I believe that doctrine, I accept that. It's more than the baptismal pool. It's more than the profession of faith. We always say that. They made a profession of faith. It's more than a profession of faith. It's more than reformation. It's more than changing your life. It's more than turning around. It's not joining a religious institution. It is a supernatural act of God. It's more than religion. It's more than saying, I believe the Bible. The Bible says that the devils believe in God and they tremble. It's more than believing in God. The devil believes the Bible. He quoted it to Jesus on the temptation time. He was there in the wilderness. The devil quoted Scripture to Jesus Christ. Now, it's more than saying I believe the Bible. It's more than believing the Bible. It is a supernatural act of God. It is a, and now people say, well, I don't understand that old King James Bible. So I got me a Webster dictionary instead of a Bible dictionary. Listen to what Webster says. Webster said, regeneration is a remaking of something to improve a place, a thing, or a person, making it more successful or active. You could say that word active means alive. Now, a regeneration is not just going to the altar and saying a sinner's prayer. We've seen people say the sinner's prayer and nothing ever changed. Amen? It's more than just calling on the Lord. We've seen people call on the Lord, nothing ever happened. Amen? So I want to take the Scriptures today, and I want to explain to you the best I can in the words that I have, which are very feeble. I want you to leave here having a better understanding of what the new birth is. Jesus is talking to a religious man. He's been religious all his life. He was raised to be one of the most religious men in Israel. He holds a position on a religious board in a religious system. He is a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He knows the law of Moses, all the commandments, not just the 10, there was over 400 of them. He knows them all by heart and can quote them to you. He dresses right. He walks right. He talks right. He attends the temple. He attends the sacrifices. He tithes. He makes offerings. I know he did because he was a Pharisee. You had to be a Pharisee. And he is a Jew of the Jews. He's at the top of the mound. This man did not know how to go to heaven. And he went to Jesus, and Jesus said, you hadn't been paying attention to what God said. You hadn't been listening. You don't even know where the wind comes from. How are you going to know how the Holy Spirit works? Amen? He said, the Spirit does this. Ye must be born again. It's not the same as your first birth. You can't go back into your mother's womb, be born again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. He didn't say you've got to accept and believe the Ten Commandments. He didn't say you've got to accept and believe the ceremonies and the sacrifices and the holy days and the high days. He knew this man believed all that. And he looked at him. He didn't say you need to go home, change your clothes. You look like a hussy. And I said this morning, maybe I better use Jezebel. That would be a Bible word. He didn't go home and say you need to go home and quit smoking. He didn't say you need to go home and quit dipping snuff. By the way, you look better if you did, and you smell better too. And he didn't say he had to go home and do anything. He said, you must be born again. I am afraid. I am afraid. And that's always been the case. There's always been a lot of people in all the churches of Jesus Christ, even those that believe the Bible, teach the Bible, practice the Bible, there's still been a lot of people in our churches who have never been born again. A lot of them don't know they're not born again. They think they are because they joined that church and that church is right, so they must be right to join that church. They think they are because when the preacher preaches against sin, they believe that and they say, amen, I'm against that too. They think they've been born again because they've said a prayer and they've asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins and to save them. But their heart was never in it. Their spirit was never in it. It's a head knowledge. To be born again is a supernatural experience. But now, wait a minute. There's a lot of folks who have had an experience, but they've never been born again. I went to the hospital to see a lady one day. She was one of the last of the Georges, the Catawba Indians down there. And she had had a heart attack, and I went there to see her. And I, you know, a little small talk. And I asked her this. I said, ma'am, do you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Have you ever been born again? She said, I sure do. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. But I didn't say that. I thought that. And I said, but how do you know? She said, well, I had a car wreck one time, and I was in the hospital, and Jesus and the 12 apostles stood at the foot of my bed and told me I was going to be all right. I'd go to heaven. I thought, powerful drugs. But whether it's drugs or demons, she was misplacing her faith in something and had never been born again. And I gave her the scriptures. She said, I told you, Jesus told me I'd be all right. I said, but what does the Bible say? He's the one that wrote the Bible. I said, I wouldn't trust an experience without the Word of God backing that experience up. In our churches every day, people have experiences. Some of you have been in them. They fall out in the aisles and they writhe on the floor and they foam at the mouth and they run the aisles and they jump pews. And I'm not against people having wonderful experiences in the house of God. I'm all for that. If you ever want to run, run. Just let us know so we don't get hurt. And if you want to jump a pew, there's probably not room in here to do that. But if you want to jump in the baptistry, we'll take the lid off and let you dive in and put the lid back on while you're in there. But... if you ever want to have, hey, experiences are wonderful. But he didn't say you must have an experience. Now, the new birth will bring an experience. Now, but not everybody has the same level of experience. The day I got saved, where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. I broke out and came down that aisle after being under Holy Ghost conviction for several years. And I fell down there. And before I ever got to the front, listen, I didn't know anything about the virgin birth. I didn't know about the doctrine of the Baptists or the Presbyterians or the Pentecostals. I didn't know King James from the Revised Standard Version, which my wife was carrying at the time. All I knew is I was going to hell because the Bible said I was a sinner, and I agreed because he read it to me. And all I knew was I needed a Savior, and I went down there not asking anything except, Lord, forgive me, save me. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And that day, before I ever got to the front, before they ever prayed with me, before they ever quoted me one verse, I had an experience with God, and that experience was the burdens were lifted, and the sin was gone, and the guilt was gone. I didn't run an aisle, I didn't jump a pew, though you may have. You might have had yours at home. Yours might have been at the bedside. But I had a lot of sin to be forgiven of, and I had a lot of guilt to get rid of. Maybe you didn't have that. Maybe you were 10 years old, and you asked the Lord to save you, and you meant it with all your heart. And that day He saved you. And look, whether you had that experience or not, doesn't mean whether or not you're saved. But I'll tell you this, if you got saved, it is a supernatural experience. How can the God of all creation come into your life and you not know something? How can the Creator of the universe touch your heart and your mind and you not have some kind of experience? It should have been a supernatural experience with a holy God. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not telling you to seek the experience. I'm telling you to seek Jesus Christ, and He'll give you the kind of experience you need. Everybody ain't the same. And I've seen people not weep, not cry, but they walked out of that church that day or out of their bedroom or wherever it was they got saved, and they were new creatures in Christ, and their lives changed. They had a supernatural experience which supernaturally gave them a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, and they were new creatures and never were the same. We don't see that much anymore. There's a lot of singing. There's a lot of clapping. There's a lot of smiling and laughing and going on. They're having all kinds of experiences. But there's very little life-changing, Holy Ghost, God Himself come in on it experience. Amen? I mean, where your heart is transformed. Where your mind is transformed. Where your spirit is transformed. I'm talking about immediately, not gradually, immediately. And you got up from that off your knees or wherever you prayed, however you prayed. And when you got up and you started again, you were different. You didn't think the same way because now the mind of God's involved supernaturally. You didn't feel the same way because now the heart of God, the Holy Ghost, is in you and He's dealing with you. And you thought different. You acted different. Immediately you saw yourself as wrong in many areas where you never saw yourself wrong before. And immediately, you wanted to please Him more than you. And immediately, you knew, I've been born again. Something's different. And you went to work, and they said, what's happened to you? You went down there at the schoolhouse, and the teacher said, talking to other teachers, said, I don't know what happened to Rick. I used to have to whip him every day. Something's happened. I don't know what's happened. You went home, and your wife said, something's going on. What's going on with you? Or your husband said, something's going on. What's going on with you? You ain't like you was last week or the week before. That's a supernatural transformation. Y'all still with me? It would shock you how many professing Christians have that. And I'm going to tell you something else. These mass meetings with mass professions of faith, if they were so real, where are they? They ain't ever been to this church. They ain't shutting down no liquor stores. They're not getting rid of strip clubs. But they're going to church. They're having a wonderful time. They claim they're having an experience with God. It's not the new birth. It might be an experience. And Hindus have religious experience. Muslims have religious experience. You think God gave that to them? Atheists have experiences. Come on, help me. Cults have experiences. Mormons speak in tongues. Come on. Let me tell you something. Your experience, if it doesn't add up to the Word of God and you've not been supernaturally regenerated, transformed, making something to improve it, a place, a person, a thing, making it successful or active, that's the definition. And Ephesians 2:1, ye who were dead spiritually in trespasses and sin, because of sin your spirit was dead, hath he quickened, that means made alive, bite your fingernail down there to the quick. You'll know what that means. You had to be quickened. That means somebody that was dead is now alive. Amen. Do you, well, Lazarus would be a good example, but Brother Rick, you think if we had it, we'll bury Billy today, okay? Some of y'all been looking forward to that, I know. We take Billy down to the cemetery and we put him down in the ground. And I know it don't work like this, but we watch them old Frankenstein movies, you know, and he fits real good in there. And a big old bolt of lightning comes down out of the sky and hits his grave, and all of a sudden a hand pops up out of the dirt, and this guy's digging up out of the dirt. Do you not think there would be something different about that man? Yeah, he was dead. Now he's alive. Amen. Do you not think the whole world, everybody knew, don't you think they would notice something was... I was at your funeral. What happened? Amen. Well, don't you think when a dead sinner gets down their knees, turns to Jesus Christ and says, I don't understand. You don't have to say it, but this is what you're really saying. I don't understand the virgin birth. I don't understand the inerrancy of the Scriptures. I don't know who Martin Luther was. Not Martin Luther King. I know it's his birthday, but Martin Luther, one he's named after. I don't know who John Calvin was. I don't even know who John the Baptist was. But I know this. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead and I'm alive. That's a supernatural experience with a supernatural God. Amen. Be careful teaching your children. They can't get saved just because they want to get saved at that moment. And by the way, you can talk them into prayer. And a lot of people have been led, little children have been led into prayer by their parents, Lord, save me. And he say, and they think he got saved. But that kid had no idea what they were doing. They didn't even see a need. Really, they only did it because mama or grandma told them to do it. And the people come to me and say, well, I got saved when I was 3 years old. I said, no, I don't think so. Well, you can't judge people. I can tell you this. Until you know you're a sinner, you're not going to know you need a Savior. Amen? And I've never met a three-year-old that understood what a sinner is. They've been bad. They know that. They've been naughty. They know that. And that's why we have to teach them the Word of God. So when they get old enough to realize, I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell, I need a Savior, then they'll get saved. Amen. I got one man right now I've been dealing with for about 4 years. And every time I talk to him, you know what he says? Well, Pastor, when I get ready to get saved, I know how. You know what I told him last time? I said, you might not have the opportunity to know how when it comes time. I said, it's just the grace of God. You ain't dead already. And I said, you think that God's just going to stop everything and let you say a prayer so you can get saved? I said, you know what you're telling me? You're really an unbeliever, or you would get saved right now. And just because you think when you're having a heart attack you can grab your chest and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, you're going to slip into heaven. It don't work that way. You're going to have to be regenerated. You're going to have to be born again. And a lot of people, they think, well, I go to church, I've been baptized, I'm a pretty good person, and so I must be saved. No, sir. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, hey, all there are none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners, and you're not good just because you go to church, and you're not going to heaven just because you got baptized. You must be born again. Amen? Y'all got to hurry. I done run out of time already. Amen? Turn to Romans chapter 6 real quick. Romans chapter 6. 6 through 11. It don't matter. Some of you ain't coming back tonight. Anybody need to give you all you can get. If I ran a restaurant, I'd go broke trying to feed people all at one meal. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now look at verse 11, underline it. Likewise. That means do the same thing. Likewise, reckon. That means account, reckon. Y'all Yankees thought reckon was a southern word. It's a Bible word. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ our Lord. Did you know that the regeneration, salvation, produces a changed life? I don't care what you say. I'm not judging you. You're judging yourself. It's apparent. I don't have to judge you. God will do that. But it's my job to tell you, if your life hasn't changed, you're not saved. I don't care what the pretty boy said down at Levitation Church. I don't care what the pretty woman said on television right before she asked you to buy that holy water and that sanctified hanky for $2,000 so she can get her Maserati or something. I don't care what they say. If your life has not been changed, you must be born again. You can't die and come back to life and not be different. The problem is, some are still dead with a tag on them, saved, alive. Hurry, I can see it now. 1 John 3:9. 1 John 3:9. I'm just trying to help you. I don't want you to be deceived and go to the grave thinking you're a Christian when you've never had a supernatural experience with a supernatural God and had a supernatural transformation. Amen? 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. You ain't going to come down here and get a book report. I'm not going to do it. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. In verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now that means a holy life. Now that doesn't mean that your flesh won't rear up and you won't sin, but if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, and he cannot sin. And he is working with your spirit to keep you right with God. And when you do sin, his very presence will convict you. The preacher doesn't have to do that. The Sunday school teacher doesn't have to do that. You sin, and immediately, God, I've sinned. Because the Holy Ghost is telling you, you need to live a holy life. You're different. You're new. You've been born again. And look, a real saint, after we sin, we stop and we say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. I knew I was going to do it. I shouldn't have done it. I knew it. And Lord, I did it on purpose. It wasn't no accident. And I'm sorry. And help me to be more holy and help me to be better. Amen. Now you can't live like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world, have the world's entertainment and habits and hobbies and all these things and tell me that you've been regenerated by the Holy Ghost of God and that the Holy One of God lives in you and you can sit in there with that stinking Lutheran pastor that was in the paper yesterday and have a beer and Bible study. He's not saved. He's never been saved. And if he keeps that up, he'll never be saved. And the people that's following him, they're not saved or they wouldn't even be there. They'd know better. Well, I wish I had time. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I said it's a changed life. It's a holy life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Y'all still with me? First John, I'll make Baptists out of you if it kills us all. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whosoever is what? Can class, what does that word say? Born. Born of God. Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The new birth produces a changed life, a holy life, and a life of victory. Amen. Now you listen to me. We get down, but we don't stay down. We get beat up, but we get back up. We fall, but we don't lay there. And I get tired of these poor mouthing, pitiful little old Christians that every time they stand up, it's some sad story. I've got life of victory. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my brother. The Holy Ghost of God is my guide. And I have hard times, but I don't run around glorifying the hard times. I want to glorify Him, and I want to tell people about Him because He's more important than what I'm going through, because I've got a new mind now. It's not about me. It's about Him. Amen. Boy, we'll have a life of victory. Christians, real saved, born-again Christians will have a life of victory. You can knock them down, but they'll get right back up by the grace of God. You can talk bad about them, they'll pray God down on you, man. Look, you can mock them, make fun of them, but they take that as a badge of honor because they did the same thing to our Savior. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, we got a bunch of... If you don't sing them some little ditty to make them laugh and smile, if you don't tell them some little old story to make them feel good about themselves, they have pity parties all over the place, and they think somebody from church would run around patting them all the time, picking them up all the time. Let me ask some. What's that guy over there in Iraq where it's against the law to be a Christian? How's he keep going? What about in China this past week? They closed a church of 50,000 Christians, shut the church down, tore it down. What do you think? Did they went around and had a pity party? No, sir. I guarantee you they met in that same spot this Sunday with a bunch of old tore down bricks and sang victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Whatever happened to real new birth Christianity? We got this namby-pamby, sissified Christianity. You hurt them, they're easily offended. It's crying and whining, or either it's worldly something. Whatever happened to the old saint that had a backbone of iron, and they get knocked down, they get right back up. You couldn't keep them down. Well, I better go on. Not only have I run out of time, I think people say. Look, it produces some things. It produces a changed life, holy life, a life of victory. Listen, it's produced by, turn to Titus 3:5 real quick. Titus 3:5, and I'm going to have to cut my sermon short because not everybody's born again. They get offended when I preach too long. Titus 3:5, that old boy at midnight fell out of the window when Paul revived him. He probably said, preach another one, Paul, preach another one. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The new birth is produced by the Holy Ghost. Not your feelings, not your emotions, not even your faith. Not even who you grew up with, what kind of home you grew up in, where you go to church. The new birth is produced by the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost of God Himself. And only He can do that. And I don't care how many decisions you make. I don't care how many professions you've made. I don't care how many prayers you prayed. If the Holy Ghost of God did not come into your heart and your life and your spirit and do a work, you're just as lost as that drunkard going to hell. Amen. And that's a sad thing to say. A lot of Christians. By the way, have you ever thought about this? The reason you don't want to talk about it to other people ain't because you're afraid they're going to make fun of you. It's you're afraid that you don't know what you're talking about. Yep. You talk about things you do know what you're talking about. I've had people tell me, they say, preacher, I know this. They'll be talking about car. Say it, say football or something. I preached a sermon at Green's Funeral Home up here on White Street years and years ago. I was a boy preacher. I was probably about 30. You hear that, boy preacher? I'm still a boy preacher in here. But anyway, I preached that sermon. And I preach like I'm preaching now. And the old guy died a drunk. They found him dead. He died drunk. Drank himself to death in a trailer down on the reservation. His kids rode our church bus. And so they asked me to preach his funeral. I preached the truth, the new birth. I preached new birth. And there's some ladies sitting on the back. Later on, I found out they run that place down there, a bunch of them. They sit there like this. The whole time I preach. Now, boy preacher, that intimidates him. Now it wouldn't. I'd say, keep on, lady. You inspire my preaching. And when we got out, this guy was proud to introduce me to these ladies. He said, they are the mothers of the reservation. Wow. So I'm proud to meet him. And as soon as he introduced me, that one driving looked at me and said, preacher, you have a lot to learn. Told me that. You know what I said? I didn't say what I wanted to say. No, I'm teasing. I said, you're absolutely right, lady. You're absolutely right. I do. I have a lot to learn. But this I know.
Amen.
They drove off mad, of course. But look, the new birth is produced by the Holy Ghost. How can you be born again and not know it? How can a supernatural God enter into your heart, your mind, your spirit, and change you, regenerate you from dead to alive, and you not know it? It's produced by the Word of God. We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But then 1 John 5:1, it says this. I got to get back over. 1 John 5:1, it says this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, he's saying if you love Jesus, you'll love God, and if you love God, you'll love Jesus. Now, a lot of people go to church, and Brother Ron, you'll say, oh, you're a Christian. They'll say, I love God. But they'll never say, I love Jesus. Now, James says that the devils believe in God, and they tremble. And we got a lot of church members not even got enough sense to tremble about the power and the presence and the supernatural power of a holy God and them going to heaven or hell. They don't have enough sense to be worried about that because somebody told them they were all right because they joined the church or they got baptized or they said a little prayer or they turned over a leaf, they quit drinking something or smoking something and they quit and they joined something else and they think that's new birth, but it's not. It's a supernatural act of a supernatural God by the supernatural Holy Ghost who will give you a supernatural faith and a supernatural life.
Amen.
And I'm only saying this, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to say, but I would rather some preacher offend me and tell me the truth so I could get it fixed than some lying hireling stand up and tell me every Sunday I'm all right because I've blown his little bunch. There's a necessity for it. Jesus said in John 3:3-5, you can't do it. You have an inability. You cannot be born again by yourself. But preacher, I've changed. I don't care what you did. You're not born again until God does that. The baptistry won't do that. Certainly that lying priest won't. Amen. They take a vow of poverty and they live richer than any of us. Amen. Amen. I better go on with that. John 3:6, Jesus said, it's not of the flesh. It's not of the flesh. Your flesh cannot convince you whether or not you're saved or lost. This thing right here. Because see, this is at enmity with God. This is an enemy of God. By the way, it's your enemy too. If you do everything this thing here tells you to do, you're going to die early.
Amen.
You're going to die early. Amen. Amen. I do not trust this thing right here. It ain't saved. It's what's in here that keeps this under control. This controls this, and this controls this.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 2:1 says you're dead. That causes a necessity to be alive spiritually. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm through. Write that down somewhere. I'm going to ask this question. Can you tell when something's dead? Was coming to church, they saw two buzzards. My wife said, I don't know how they can smell and it's cold. I said, they ain't smelling right now, they're looking. There's a steak. There's a pork chop. Can you tell when something's dead? Sure you can. How? It's inactive. It doesn't move. It doesn't do anything. It's dead. Now you can take that dead man out of that coffin and prop him up here in the choir. But until he sings, he ain't a choir member. He's inactive. You can prop him up in a Sunday school teacher's desk. But until he's born again, he can't teach spiritual things. He's dead. You can put him behind a pulpit and call him pastor, preacher, bishop, elder, whatever you want to call him. And until he gets born again, he is spiritually inactive. He's a dead man. He cannot speak anything of spiritual life because he's not alive. It'd be like going to green, and I don't use hardly use greens anymore. White sale, that's the poor man's funeral home now. I go to the poor man's funeral home. You go down here at White Sales, you know, and say, who y'all got today? And they'll say, well, we got James Smith. Go down there and say, hey, James, how you doing? It's cold out there, ain't it, James? James, how's your family? James, where you want to go to lunch? He ain't got nothing to say. You know why? He's dead. And you bring people into church, you say, are you living for God? They don't say nothing. They don't know what that means. You remember we used to say living right? You say, are you living right? They don't know what that means. You say, do you sing when we open a hymn book? No, they don't see a need to sing. They're dead. Do you give to support missions and think? No, they don't. They don't have any idea what that means. They're dead people. And I'm afraid, as pastor, I have preached to a lot of dead people. I can't judge anybody's heart. Some of them may have just been out of the will of God and look dead. By the way, you get out of the will of God, you'll look like you're dead. You'll look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and be like the world. That's dead people. And maybe I shouldn't even think much about it. Maybe I just ought to preach and let chips fall where they may. But I've got news for you. It's my job to cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice, show my people their sins. And you get mad at me if you want to, but I'm going to tell you this one thing. We're leaving. Ye must be born again. I love you. You can join church if you want to, make a false profession. I wouldn't know the difference. You can join the choir and sing songs that mean absolutely nothing to you. I wouldn't know the difference. You can go home and cuss like a sailor and come down here and be the biggest saint we ever had. I don't know. But I can tell you this, ye must be born again. You must have a supernatural experience with a supernatural God brought on by the supernatural Holy Ghost, and it brings a supernatural change in your life. I'm not being mean to you. And I wouldn't say, don't run down here because you'll embarrass yourself because you thought you were saved and you ain't. I would scream out and cry, do it. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It only matters what God thinks. I read a story. A Baptist preacher pastored and preached for 26 years in Mississippi. 26 years. He got saved under his own preaching. Told the people that night that he'd never been saved. He thought he was, but today he really got born again. And you would think the church would jump up, run up there, hug his neck, praise God, hallelujah, you've got a saved preacher. The next Sunday they voted him out of the church. Ye must be born again. Would you think they probably wasn't born again? Now, you young people, you listen to me, young people. I'm not asking you to judge your mom and dad how they live. I'm asking you to judge yourself. Let's stand. Father, thankful for the Word of God.